You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
The Roman's double-edged sword could cut both ways without wasting motion. It was designed so that it could attack and accomplish its objective. In like fashion, I want you to imagine the Word of God never swinging in vain. It defeats the enemy's hold and frees the captive in the same strike.
Just as the Roman double-edged sword was crafted never to waste a single moment, so too is the Word of God designed to accomplish exactly what it was sent to do. Pastor Gary teaches you today that God's Word is not passive. It is active, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts away fear, doubt, and lies, while planting truth, hope, and life in their place. This is the beauty of God's precision. He knows exactly what needs to be removed and what must remain in your life. Now, here's Pastor Gary in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, as he continues his message, he gets you and wants you.
Let me give you quickly three things, and then we'll go to what's next. Number one, I want to talk about the penetrating power of God's Word. Look again, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword." I'm going to go take you to class real quick. Are you ready? All right, number one, the word quick. In its original meaning means alive, not dead, not dead ink. The word carries God's own life and breath. We've established that. Now, the word powerful means in the Greek, it means active, it means operative, it means never idle. Glory to God. Even when I didn't see it working, it was working. He said, "My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish." It. Just because you and I don't see it, don't mean it ain't at work. This encourages me when I have seemingly unanswered prayer. I'm encouraged by the fact that because I spoke the word and I prayed the word and I believe the word, that the word is working. Can I get an amen? This is good for anybody who has a wayward child, and you've been praying for that child for years, and you raised them right, and they ain't doing right, and you wondered if it was all in vain, and you'd wonder, oh, glory to God, can I help a parent this morning to regain your hope in the fact that God's word that was sown in the heart of that child is able to make them wise unto salvation, because the seed has been planted, and what we pray is that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance, bring back to life that word. I just recently heard a testimony of a man who was raised in church but went wayward on God and lived a life of sin, and one day he was doing sit-ups. Right in the middle of his sit-ups, he was fixing to do some cussing or something, I can't remember, but instead of cussing, he quoted a scripture, and he's like, "Where did that come from?" And then he started praying a prayer of repentance, and all of a sudden he got birthed into the family of God all in an instant, because the seed of God's word was breathed on after it had been planted and been working inside of him for years, because the Holy Spirit on the inside navigating and deflecting and not allowing you to self-destruct until he can really help you. Can I get an amen? And he's working on it. It might be behind the scenes. It might be years in the making, but don't give up on the word of God, because God's word is powerful. It's sharper. This means more keen, more cutting than anything else. Not a dull blade. I was cutting a tree the other day at work with a dull axe. I quickly realized this ain't working. And I went and found me a grinder in the shop, and I sharpened that axe, and it wasn't long had that tree cut down, because it was sharp. God's sharp. His word is sharp. It's not dull. But it's one that penetrates immediately and as deeply as it needs to. Now, this is my favorite part right here. If you don't get anything else today, this next part, this is good stuff. Amen. This word, two-edged sword, this phrase, two-edged sword, I'm going to try to sound smart, but y'all just have to forgive me. The Greek phrase is distomos machera. I don't expect you to memorize that, but let me tell you what it means. It literally means two-mouthed sword. You say, two-mouthed sword. Now, what in the world? Well, let me help you with that. The word is sharp both ways, number one. God speaks it from his mouth, and then when his people echo it in faith, it strikes again. And it's like the Roman sword. It cuts both coming and going. Two-mouthed sword. That means God's word was crafted not just for him to speak it, but for you to repeat it by faith. That means to come into an agreement with God that what he said is in fact truth. And even when it doesn't make sense to our intellect, our common sense, our basic knowledge of what the world is around us, we must come to an agreement that God, our Creator, knows best. And it's not just when God speaks it to us, Sister Amy, but it's when we mix that word with faith. Amen. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, which we preach that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, there it is, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The two-mouthed sword. When we start saying what God said instead of what we think he said or what we prefer that he said, or even if we outright say what the devil said to Eve, has God really said that? God means me evil, not good, and the devil's been lying from day one about that. But when it becomes the two-mouthed sword, that is when we repeat by faith what God has already declared, it has the power to effect change in our lives. This is a two-edged sword. Not only that for you, but for me as a preacher, I got to trust that when God said it and I repeat it to you, that it has the power to transform your life. If I didn't believe that what I'm doing wasn't making a difference in your life, I'd close my Bible today and go to selling Amway. Can I get an amen? I don't even know if they exist anymore. But you get my point. This is not a career to me. This is a calling. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It may cost me everything, but I've got to preach because this word is so powerful and so life transforming, and I can't wait to just see how many God will change through the preaching of his word. Got a young man got saved a few months back in our youth program. He wants to get baptized. What God said was spoken through my lips, that two-mouthed sword penetrated his heart, reached him in the depths of his soul, and he gave his life to Jesus. That's how it works. Now, you might not understand. You say, well, I've been in church a long time, maybe my whole life, Brother Gary. I just don't relate to that terminology you're speaking about, the change. It's not working for me. Well, yeah, maybe, but I'm telling you, the word works. I cannot pretend to understand why God takes us more time with some than he does others. But I assure you that if you'll just remain open to the precious word of God, he means you nothing but health and wholeness and well-being. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. God's word is quick, alive, and powerful. Actively at work, it cuts through mental arguments. It cuts through emotional defenses. It cuts through spiritual blindness. Like a master swordsman, it strikes with precision, reaching every department of your being, your heart, which is your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your body, or your strength. And I want you to imagine with me for just a moment a quick illustration. We'll go on to point number two. The Roman's double-edged sword could cut both ways without wasting motion. It was designed so that it could attack and accomplish its objective. In like fashion, I want you to imagine the Word of God never swinging in vain. It defeats the enemy's hold and frees the captive in the same strike. You have an enemy. Here's the problem. We think that when the sword of God's word comes in heavy on our habit that God's attacking us. No. He's attacking the one who's holding you captive. He's seeking to set you free. He's not attacking you. You may be in very close proximity to the sword that is sent to attack the enemy of your soul. But trust me, once he deals with your enemy, he will deal with you and he will bring healing and help and hope. So the same sword that goes into battle to kill the enemy goes into surgery mode to bring healing and cut out the cancers of our heart, soul, mind, and body. Glory to God. So that's the penetrating power of God's word. Number two, let's go to the precise purpose of God's word. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now, I'm going to take you back to class. Let me give you some definitions here. Number one, let's look at the word piercing. This means to pass through, to penetrate all the way in. No surface level contact, but going straight to the core. Did y'all know that they have lasers now that can do surgery without penetrating the skin, but actually cutting the part out that's behind? It's really wild and mind-boggling to me. You know all that is that's just a proper exercise of light. You know who Jesus is. He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus, with laser precision, can preserve what's needed and cut out what's not. Woo! Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Piercing. Dividing asunder. This means making distinctions. Separating what looks alike but is actually different. For example, I used to have a lot of random thoughts and sometimes still do. The battle of the mind. Anybody have that? And you're like, where did that thought come from? I don't even want to think like that. I don't even want to act like that. Can I get an amen? Anybody else with me? Well, did you know the Bible knows the difference between what originated from your heart's desire and what the devil threw in the mix? And he will not hold you accountable for what did not originate from your own heart. I thank God for that. Amen. Now, we have a choice whether or not we latch on to those random thoughts and give them life. But the Bible knows the difference between the two. The Word can show where flesh ends and spirit begins. It talks about the soul. This is your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is the seat of personality and earthly life. So it divides asunder between that and the Spirit of God. Sometimes we mix it up and we think that our emotions must have been something God spoke to us. That wouldn't have nothing to do with God. You say, how do you know the difference? The Word of God. The Word of God will tell you if your emotion was based in truth or not. And so then you can decide and decipher by the revelation of God's word, was that a random thought, was that emotional, or was that the Holy Spirit prompting me? And God, the Holy Spirit, will never prompt you through your emotions to do something that is directly opposed to the revealed word and will of God. You see, that's what the Bible does. It helps you decipher. He knows you're going to have all kinds of emotions. And let me tell you something, God's word is not here to validate your emotions. It's here to clarify your emotions, because your emotions can be played like a puppet. Your emotions can be played from anything between what you ate in your last meal to what somebody said to you and what you thought. Your emotions are the devil's playground, and he'll get you to feel in some kind of way for so long that you'll begin to think that that's just how you were wired to be, and that's just how God made you to be. But if it's opposed to the Word of God, the Word of God is here to help you understand the difference between what you're emotionally charged to gravitate towards versus what the Spirit of God wants you to live in clarity with. Amen. Oh, this is so good. I wish somebody preached this to me when I was a teenager. It would have saved me a lot of hell and heartache and a lot of worry and fear. The Spirit, this is that God-conscious part of man where communion with Him takes place. And by the way, until you're born again by the grace of God, your spirit is dead to Christ. That's why the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foreign to him. He cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned matters. That's why someone who has never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely and sincerely cannot receive the Word of God with any real embrace, because it's foreign to them. It's like someone who only knows English trying to read a Russian book. It just don't make any sense. Because your intellect, the Bible says that the friendship with the world is enmity with God. This world is an enemy of God because they don't have this understanding. They're living in total spiritual blindness and darkness. And by the way, be patient with people who are blind. There's hope of Jesus recovering their sight. Can I get an amen there? So that spirit, God knows the difference between your soul and your spirit. And the joints and marrows. Now, I love this. This has got a 2 or 3-tiered meaning. This is imagery of depth. Joints are the places of movement. Y'all understand that? God can get things to moving. Anybody got arthritis? Y'all know how them joints, the mobility is very restricted, isn't it? And it's very painful. You know why we can't move towards God as easily as we should? Because we've got things in our innermost being that are opposed to God, trying to restrict the movement of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we try to take a step towards God and it hurts our joints. That's because the devil's attacking you every time you try to get closer to God. Have you ever noticed anytime you have a big move of God at church, you go home and it seems like that day the bottom drops out. That very day, the devil don't wait a minute. Because every joint that requires movement is attacked. You have spiritual arthritis until the healer touches it. Having to fight every step of the way for any spiritual victory. Amen. All right, here we go. God's word reaches both the visible and the invisible, and what moves you outwardly as well as what sustains you inwardly. But I also like the fact that marrow is the source of blood. And that is the source of life. The Word of God gets that deep to where He brings life to an otherwise dead and dry bone. Now, the Spirit's sword is never reckless. It divides soul from spirit, what is merely human from what is truly God-breathed. It reaches into joints and marrow, the most hidden sources of life, what gives life to death things, amen, and what should give life to your spirit, to uncovering what fuels your walk or hinders it. My Lord. So, this is not destruction. This is precision. It peels away the layers of pride, of fear, and of false security until only truth remains. God knows how to peel it all back and continue to bring death to what brings death to you and bring Jesus as life to you in its replacement. Think of a surgeon's knife which cuts to save, not to kill, as we've already talked about. When cancer threatens life, the patient welcomes the cut, knowing it's the only way to live, and the word does the same, cutting away what will destroy you while preserving what will bring life. Oh, I bless the name of the Lord, that even in my confusion, even in my despair, even in my insistence upon having things my own way, that God did not listen to my arguments. You ever had a stubborn doctor? So now, you shut up. I'm the doctor. You're the patient. You do what I say do, and you'll undergo the treatment that I tell you because I'm trying to save your life. So don't be stubborn. Just yield to the process. Anybody ever been through that? Amen. Especially some of us that are hard-headed. You give your doctors a hard time. They've been going to school for 50 years, and you didn't even graduate high school, and yet you act like you know more than them. Y'all know somebody like that. But here's my point. How many times do we resist the hand? God asked Paul, who was formerly Saul on the road to Damascus, he was on his way to do what he knew was right in his heart. He was a religious man, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, had the whole Old Testament memorized, knew multiple languages. He was intellectually astute. He was a profound speaker. He had the ability to captivate an audience's attention, and he was going around thinking that he was doing God a service while killing these Christians who were trying to change the doctrine and move away from the Old Testament into the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And while he was on his way to doing what he knew was right, by everything that made common sense and intellectual understanding to him, he bumped into Jesus on the road to Damascus, I think it was. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why kickest thou against the pricks? What are you doing resisting my hand? I'm here to heal you and then to turn you into a healer. And if you'll stop fighting and start yielding, I'll turn your life around and make something of you. And God did just that with Saul. Renamed to Paul, gave him a glorious born-again experience. In fact, his first meeting with the church, they were very intimidated because this was the man that they knew would go around and kill Christians and have Christians stoned, amen. And now he's wanting to have a meeting with them. I imagine that first meeting was very up on edge. Now, I don't know if we can trust this guy or not. What if this is a plot? I wonder what the council meeting was like in preparation for that meeting. Can I get an amen? But God had already changed his heart. And he turned into what we know as the greatest missionary in church history. Planting churches and going to the Gentiles. You know why we know about Jesus? Because of Paul's work. He started the chain of the gospel going around the world. And Paul the Apostle wrote instrumentally through the person of the Holy Spirit over half of the New Testament. And because at some point he met his maker in a very personal and powerful way and come into agreement and realized he needed to lay his logic down and embrace what God was saying. This personal pursuit. Oh, he's going to discern you. Amen. The Bible doesn't just expose your actions. It reveals your motives. It distinguishes between what appears righteous and what actually pleases God, and there is often a difference. Verse 13 follows with a sobering truth. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He's exposing us to heal us. What do? When you go into surgery, will they unclothe you in the appropriate places? Have you gotten naked before God? And I mean that in the purest sense. Don't let this world corrupt that thought. That simply means, have you been honest with God instead of trying to justify or logically embrace your own ideas and convince yourself that surely God didn't mean this or surely God didn't mean that. Surely there's got to be another explanation when the real explanation is we just got to get honest with God. God's word tracks you like a rescue team in enemy territory. Not to condemn, but to bring you home. A special ops team risks enemy fire to retrieve one of their own. They know the danger, but they also know the value of the one they're after. And God's word operates just like that, locating you, breaking the enemy's grip, and bringing you back into fellowship with him. Isn't that wonderful? I'll bring this to a close. The word has both sword and scalpel in mind, conquering what holds you captive, and restoring what sin has broken. Every cut is aimed at healing. Every strike is aimed at freedom. Sin whispers that you can rewrite God's truth to fit your comfort. But God's word insists that real life is found only in Jesus Christ. When you open the Bible, you're opening yourself to the gaze of the one who made you, knows you, and still desires you. Will you let him in? Will you allow his word to search every part of you, heart, soul, mind, and strength or body? Today can be the day the battle turns, the surgery begins, and you walk in wholeness.
Today's teaching is coming to an end, but you don't have to stop studying God's Word. Here at True North, we encourage each and every listener to dive into Scripture regularly on your own. As you do, ask the Holy Spirit to speak and for your heart to be receptive to what is being taught. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new edition. If you'd like to learn more about True North or Pastor Gary, visit GaryCaudill.com. Would you like to plan a visit to worship and study the Bible with Pastor Gary? You can find all the information you need about where he teaches by visiting GaryCaudill.com. If you're not in the area, we do encourage you to find and begin attending a Bible teaching community near you. Find a church family you can live life with, investing in the next generations. If you have any questions or would like to find out how you can support Gary Caudill Ministries and True North, please reach out to Pastor Gary. He can be reached at contact@GaryCaudill.com. That email again is contact@GaryCaudill.com. We're at a point where we need to end our time with you today, but we are so looking forward to the next message right here on True North.